Chapter 6 this morning, Galatians chapter 6. I'm using this as a springboard for the message that the Lord has laid on my heart. And I know this will shock our people, but I'm not going to get through it all this morning. The good Lord willing, I'll get started with it today and finish it next Sunday morning. The good Lord willing on that. Let me remind our church family of the passing of Johnny Saylor's mother, Miss Jewel. And that graveside service is today at 2 o'clock at the Gray Funeral Home down here, just right down at the bottom of the hill. I encourage you, if you're able to go. That's all they're having is a graveside. And she's one of our dear, dear ladies. And she's now with the Lord. And that's today at 2 o'clock. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2. The Word of God says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." I've been doing a series, a topical series, off and on for, I don't know, maybe a couple of years now, just occasionally bringing out different strongholds that the devil will try to use in our lives. And today I'm bringing out another stronghold that sometimes the Lord gives this, but the devil tries to turn it in to a stronghold to crush you underneath its load. And today I preach to you, begin a message on one word. It's the word burdens. And I'm preaching to you on the stronghold of burdens. Now I'm sure in a crowd this size, nobody's carrying a burden, right? I'm being facetious obviously here. There are many burdens listening to me now. And people who are carrying heavy, heavy burdens. And may I give you an encouraging thought? You're either carrying a burden or getting ready to carry a burden. I know that's encouraging, isn't it? And today I want to preach to you, begin this message on burdens. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this day and thank you for how you've met in my heart and life as a result of this message. And I pray as we only get started today that you'll fill us with your power and spirit, that you'll help me to be a spirit-filled preacher and these precious people to be spirit-filled listeners to the Word of God. If somebody's here that's never been saved, may you draw them to yourself. And would you help us today as we study burdens of life? May you challenge us and give us strength from you. And may this message be a real blessing and even take some burdens away from people, I pray. May thy will be done. Forgive my sin. Help me to be clean. In Jesus' name, amen. A burden is defined as follows. It means to load oppressively. It means to trouble. It means to carry. It means a mental weight, a concern, or a hardship. Burdens are common for us as human beings. As a matter of fact, we find ourselves off and on throughout life carrying an oppressive load that troubles us and weighs heavy on our hearts and on our minds. Some of you, dear precious people, have carried a burden into this auditorium this morning. And these burdens can become a stronghold and can cause us to stress that can be harmful to us physically and spiritually. Paul Chappell gave a report where he said stress has become an epidemic. The American Stress Institute reports that stress is responsible for 250 million lost work days a year. Additionally, 75 to 90% of all doctor visits are for stress-related complaints. Think of that. It's estimated that American companies spend at least $300 billion annually due to stress-related accidents, absenteeism, and attrition as a result of workplace stress. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, more than 23 million Americans suffer from some form of anxiety disorder. The fact of the matter is we all have burdens to bear. Everybody has burdens. But let me say something to you. There are two types of burdens. They're what I call God-given burdens. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 55, verse number 22, where the Bible says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved." You know what that word burden means? It means something given by God. Do you get that? Do you understand that God gives burdens to people as a gift? It can be a gift from God to carry a burden. There are God-given burdens. However, there's another kind of burden, and that's what I call self-inflicted burdens. Those are burdens that God never intended for us to pick up. May I say this to you? I get in trouble when I pick up a load that God never told me to pick up. Have you ever tried to pick up something as a burden and God never told you to pick that up? He never gave that to you to carry. He never gave that burden for you. Now, let me say this to you. If these burdens that we're carrying right now, if they're not handled right, they're going to become heavier and heavier and heavier, and they will crush us beneath their load. But if they are handled right, there is peace in the midst of burdens. There is rest in the midst of burdens. And let me give you the main thought right here, and then I'm just going to start preaching here on some thoughts here that God's given me. It all depends. I'm talking about whether you're crushed under it or whether you have peace and rest in it. It all depends on who's carrying the burden. Are you carrying it, or is God? Now, friends, while the principles that I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you eight. I'm only going to give you four today, okay? But I've got eight of them to give to you. You want the other four? Come back next week, and if that's if the Lord hasn't come back. Amen. Let me give you four things today. There's eight total, and I'm just going to give you four today of what to do with burdens. What do you do with burdens? Now, while these principles that I'm going to give you apply to both self-inflicted burdens and God-given burdens, I'm focusing this sermon on God-given burdens, the ones that God gives to His children to carry. Now, those that in His sovereignty He gives to us as His gift. You know, this has really challenged my heart, that things that you never choose for yourself, things that you don't pick up yourself, stuff that God literally gives, God looks at those burdens that He gives as a gift. Now, when you think of a gift, what do you think? Something you want, right? Oh, I'm glad I got that, you know what I mean? But God says, I give burdens to my children as gifts. This has challenged my heart. And with this being the case, I want to ask you a question. Do you have a burden this morning? Are you carrying a heavy load? Is there something that's weighing on your mind that seems to be getting heavier and heavier and heavier? If your answer is yes, I have a burden. Yes, I'm carrying burdens. If your answer is yes, by the way, if your answer is no, you ought to praise God for it. But get ready for the burdens because they're right around the corner. Aren't you glad I'm an encouraging preacher today? Didn't I just encourage your heart? But you know I'm telling you the truth. There's burdens all the time. What do you do with a burden? Let me give you four things today. Number one, they all start with T, okay? Number one, throw your burden on God. I get this in Psalm 55, 22. I've already quoted it where it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You know what's interesting, as I've already said here, to note that the word burden, cast thy burden upon the Lord. That word burden means something that's given by God. This means that certain burdens we have are a gift from God. And what He desires for us to do with these God-given burdens is to cast them upon Him. You know what the word cast means? It means to throw it on Him. That's where I get the word throw. It means to throw it. It means to hurl it on Him. Get this. Every burden that God gives to us, He wants us to give them back to Him. Did you hear what I just said? Every burden that God gives to us, He wants us to realize we can't handle it and give it right back to Him. And here's the language that He uses. Now, let me just take something here that I can throw, all right? I just won't throw hard, all right? I can't throw hard anymore anyway, I guess, you know what I'm saying? Here's what that word cast means. It doesn't mean hand it to me. It doesn't mean hold on to it and I'll help you carry it. It doesn't mean that.
It doesn't mean, now you keep your hand on it and put one in my hand and I'll bear the load with you. That's not what it means. You know what it means? It means throw it on me. Cast it on me. Get it out of your hands and throw it completely on me. Here's the point. Let me go get that, because if I don't get it, you're going to be focused on that the whole time, right? Yes. Here's the point. Step number one with a burden. Here's the point. You can't carry it. God never intended for you to carry it. But He gave it to us to show us once again, I need you. Now God knows the burden I'm carrying. And through this burden, God is showing me once again that I need Him. When He's saying, throw it on me, He's saying, the reason I give you this burden is so you understand something, Jody. You need me. G. Campbell Morgan put it this way. I like this. He was talking to his students and he said it this way. He said, sooner or later, there comes a crisis in which we are brought to the appalling sense of our own incompetence and weakness. And he said, that is a great hour. That's a powerful statement. In other words, he's saying, students, inevitably, sooner or later, something's going to be in your life where you realize you can't do it. You're incompetent, you're weak, and you need help. And he said, when you come to that realization, that is a great time in your life. God-given burdens are a blessing in disguise in showing us that we cannot bear them alone, and we need the Lord, and we need His mighty strength to see us through. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. Number one, throw your burden on the Lord. Realize you can't carry it. Realize that He never wanted you to carry it. He just wants you to get on your face and say, God, please take this from me. I need you in this. Throw it on Him. Number two, talk to God about it. Now, this is simple. I'm trying to be a simple preacher. Matter of fact, that's all I can be, okay? If you want a deep preacher, then go somewhere else, kick me out, and hire somebody else, okay? Because I'm a simple gospel preacher. I want you to grab it. I want you to grasp it. I want you to understand it. Hey, number one, throw it on God. Realize you can't handle it. Number two, talk to God about it. Let me tell you one of the greatest things you can do when you're burdened. Get alone with God and just talk to Him. Honestly, the Bible says in Psalm 18:6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him even into His ears. Philippians 4:6-7, be careful, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Have you ever been dealing with somebody who obviously has a major burden in their life that God has given to them? He's allowed it to come to their life, but you visit them and it's like, look at the peace that's in their heart. I've just visited one such person. Her name is Linda Hensley. What a mighty lady of God. She's been coming to this church for 45 years. She just found out she's got stage 4 cancer in Indian Path Hospital. I walked up there. Well, I drove up there, but I'm saying when I got there, I walked into her room. And when I walked in, just peace. You know what she told me? She said, I'm so anxious to get to heaven. That's what she told me. I'm so anxious to get to heaven. And she's got peace. Let me tell you why she does, one reason why she does. Because I guarantee you she's been talking to God about it. Amen. And when she talks to God, God gives her peace.
You ever had a heavy burden? Don't know what to do with it? Yeah, I mean, it's starting to crumble down. You start talking to God and God calms you down. Has that ever happened? This is what I'm saying. This is number two. Throw it on God. Realize you can't carry it. How do you do that? By talking to God. You see where I'm going with this. You talk to God about it. Tell God exactly what you're feeling. Tell Him exactly how you feel. Ask Him to give you peace. And you know what He'll do? He will help you and He will give you peace. I'm not saying that He'll take the problem away, but He'll give you peace in the midst of the storm. See, when burdens are upon us, one of the greatest things to do is just start talking to God about it. Isn't that simple? It's simple, but it is part of the answer. Call upon God. Cry unto God. Ask God to help you. Ask God to bear it. Ask God to help you throw it on Him and realize that you can't bear this alone. Number three, not only throw your burden on God, realize you can't carry it, that you need Him. Not only talk to God about it, just get alone with God and cry out to God and call out to God and beg God for His help. Number three, by the way, if you don't need this morning, I hope that you're taking mental notes. Number three, turn to God's Word. Turn to God's Word. Here's what I mean by this. Along with talking to God about your burdens, learn when you're carrying, even when you don't carry burdens, but especially when you're carrying burdens, learn to turn to the Word of God and ask God to speak to your heart. Ask God to talk to you as only He can. I know from experience that these times can be some of the most precious times in our lives. I'm talking about the times when our hearts are so heavily burdened and we don't know what to do. We can't do anything about it. You understand what I'm saying to you. You didn't choose it. It's just there. Here it is. If it's a God-given burden, throw it on God. Tell Him that you need Him. Show Him that you need Him. Talk to Him about it. And then turn to the Word of God and beg Him to talk to you and give you peace. There's nothing quite like when your heart is troubled to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you're reading that verse that God is speaking to you. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. I mean, I've had it in my life, and I'm begging God for it now, and I'm talking about through this time here and so on with our baby girl and asking God to give us peace and speak to our heart, and I'm begging Him for this, but in times past, He's always taken the Word of, every time, He has taken the Word of God, and I've read something, and it's like He says, that's for you. And it calms my heart. It calms my spirit. It calms my wife. Have you ever had that happen? Where you turn to the Word of God in times of crisis and burdens and God speaks to you. Don't run from the Word of God when your heart's troubled. Go to the Word of God and let God speak to you. In the early 1900s, a young evangelist by the name of Luther Bridges, he accepted an invitation to hold a 2-week revival meeting near his wife's parents' home in Kentucky. So he left his wife and his 3 young sons to enjoy 2 weeks with her family while he traveled on to the meeting by himself. The Lord blessed the 2-week revival services, and at the close of the 2 weeks, Luther was eager to reunite with his family and share testimonies of what God had done with his family and with his wife. But as the final service closed, Luther received a long-distance phone call. He listened in shock as he heard the devastating news that his in-law's home had been burned to the ground and his wife and all 3 of his sons had died in the flame. He was stunned. He was brokenhearted. He couldn't preach anymore. Questions turned his mind inside out and incapacitated his ministry. He was just completely done, he thought. Why would God have allowed this to happen to him while he was serving Jesus? Gently the Lord answered his servant, not with reasons, because our minds are too limited to fully understand God's reasons, but with his presence. And in the pages of the Word of God, as Luther was reading, he found peace. And he read these verses, Lamentations 3:24, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him." He read Psalm 91, verse 1, where it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And even though his heart was ripped out of his chest, and he didn't understand this burden, he didn't fully comprehend why is this happening, and he stopped preaching for a while, even though he was doubting and questioning, he went to the Word of God. And when he went to the Word of God, God spoke to his heart, and God was challenging him that he is his hope, and he will take care of him, and he's under his shadow. And when he had all of these things, still with questions in his mind, but yet the Word of God speaking peace to him, he sat down and he wrote, "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go." He wrote that song after the devastating news, after he thought he stopped preaching, after he went to the Word of God and God filling his heart with peace, and yet still questions in his mind, but yet the Word of God dealing in his heart, he sits down and writes that song that is the favorite song of some people probably on planet Earth. What did it for him? I'll tell you what did it for him. In the midst of his storm, he turned to the Word of God. In the darkest hours of life, God can use his Word to speak peace to our hearts. And when we go to the Word of God, we find his precious promises that can help us through the burdens of life. These promises, here are just a few of them. Psalm 46, 1 and 2, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea." 1 Corinthians 10, 13, "There's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Deuteronomy 33, 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Isaiah 43, 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Matthew 11, 28. I'm just talking to you about just some of the promises of God's Word that can give you comfort during burdens. Matthew 11, 28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Romans 8, 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." 2 Corinthians 12, 9, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Concerning that verse, "my grace is sufficient for thee," let me give you a couple of things. In the late 1800s, a pastor by the name of William Webb Peplow lost his youngest child. His youngest child died. And on the Saturday after his little one's funeral, he prepared to preach to his people from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. "My grace is sufficient for thee." And yet even as he prepared the message, he found his own aching heart doubting the truth of that verse. Is God's grace really sufficient? He finally laid his pen down. He knelt down by his desk and he cried out, "Lord, let your grace be sufficient for me." He just lost his youngest child. I can't imagine that. Don't even want to imagine that. And as Pastor Webb Peplow looked up, see, he learned to cast his burden on the Lord. He was doubting, he was fearing, but he threw it on God, and he's talking to God. Let your grace be sufficient for me. He's turning to God's word. And as he looked up off of his knees that day, his eye caught a framed picture. It was a scripture verse that his mother had given to him just a few days previously. It was the verse text from which he was preparing to preach, 2 Corinthians 12:9. And the word "is" in the verse stood out in bold red. It stood out in bold red. My grace is. It was in bold red. That single word, the word "is," reminded the pastor that God's grace is not something we hope or plead for. It is always available. And it is always sufficient. Years later, he said, and I quote, "Never turn God's facts into hopes or prayers, but simply use them as realities, and you will find them powerful as you believe them." Charles Spurgeon once told of an evening when he was riding home. He was weary and he was depressed. Yes, the great Charles Spurgeon, depressed. It was after a heavy day's work. And suddenly 2 Corinthians 12:9 flashed through his mind. "My grace is sufficient for thee." He said, "I should think it is, Lord." And he began to laugh out loud. He said it seemed to make unbelief so absurd. He said it was as though some little fish, being very thirsty, was troubled about drinking the river dry. And the river said, "Drink away, little fish, my stream is sufficient for thee." He said, or if it seemed as it seemed after the 7 years of plenty that a mouse feared that it would die of famine. And Joseph back in Egypt said, "Cheer up, little mouse, my places are sufficient for thee." He says, as if a man away up on a mountain saying to himself, "I fear I shall exhaust all the oxygen in the atmosphere if I breathe." But the earth might say, "Breathe away, O man, and fill thy lungs forever. My atmosphere is sufficient for thee." The point is this: just like a little fish could never drink a river dry, just like a little mouse could never eat all the grain in the years of plenty, and just like a man could never suck all the oxygen out of the air when God says, "My grace is sufficient," drink away, little fish. My grace is sufficient for thee. Eat away, little mouse. My grace is sufficient for thee. Breathe away, old man. My grace is sufficient for thee. The point in all of this is when we find ourselves carrying a heavy burden, number three, go to the Word of God and ask God to speak to your heart as only He can. The Word of God can become even more precious to you during these times of heavy burdens. Number one, throw it on God. Realize God never gave it to you to carry. He gave it to you to realize that He needs to carry it and He wants you to give it back to Him. Number two, talk to God about it. Just pour your heart out to Him. Number three, turn to God's Word and ask God to speak to you. Number four, and we close with this thought: tarry in God's will for your life. Now here's the point. When burdens come, do not respond by quitting on God. Don't you quit. Don't stop obeying what the Lord has told you to do. Through the pain, keep on going for the glory of God. Reminded of a story that, once again, Paul Chappell tells. I'm quoting this story here. He says, "You might as well face it. Glenn's going to be an invalid for the rest of his life." He's telling a story, obviously. It was overhearing just that statement that confirmed in young Glenn's mind that he was not going to be an invalid. A few weeks earlier, 7-year-old Glenn, he's just 7 years old, his legs and feet had been badly burned in a fire, and so badly burned that the doctors recommended amputation. But Glenn's family refused, at least for the time being. But his burned legs filled with infection. The fire had taken all the flesh from his knees and his shins, as well as all the toes on his left foot. And his transverse arch was destroyed. The doctor said that he would never walk again, not on those legs. From the bedroom where Glenn, again just 7 years old, was confined, he could hear his mother's friend trying to help his mother face reality. He heard this: Glenn's going to be an invalid for the rest of his life. But Glenn wasn't so sure. In fact, he was determined he would not be. And hearing his mother tell her friend that Glenn would walk again strengthened his own resolve. In other words, his mother refused to listen to that. No, he's going to walk again. And hearing his mother say that, it made him more determined. But Glenn and his family did more than talk. They worked. With loving tenacity, they continued to change Glenn's burned dressings and get this, and they would cut away the rotting flesh to clear up the infection. They massaged the little bit of muscle and sinew that remained on the legs. They did all of that. And the story said, and they prayed. I like that. For Glenn's part, he continually pushed himself past the limit of pain, and he asked for this care and willed himself to fight against the searing pain. In other words, it was terrible on him, but he just wanted to keep going in the midst of the pain. And while in his wheelchair one day, he threw himself out of his seat onto the grass in the backyard. With his arms, he drug his body over to the fence. From there, he gritted his teeth and slowly stood on his charred, lifeless legs. He grabbed the fence and used it as a crutch as he pulled himself along one post at a time, walking for the first time since the accident. From that moment, there was no stopping Glenn. With resolute persistence, he learned to walk without aid, and then he tried to run. Soon, he found it was less painful to run than to walk. It was too painful to walk, but if he ran, it was less pain. So he began to run everywhere he went. You imagine that? He ran so well, in fact, that at the age of 12, he raced the best high school runners in his area and he won the race. His legs remained deeply scarred for life. The loss of his toes and his arch meant that he would never run smoothly. But what he lacked in grace, he made up for in strength and endurance, and with a steel determination that won him the title, and I quote, Iron Horse of Kansas. Glenn Cunningham set a world record as a miler. He ran the mile in a world record. How was this possible? How did this young boy with lifeless legs become the world champion? Not only setting a record time for running the mile, but inspiring millions of others with handicaps to push forward. The answer is twofold, because here's what Glenn said in his own words. You listening? Here's what this boy said. By the grace of God, I learned to run again. By the grace of God, I learned to run again. His life verse was Isaiah 40, 31, very appropriate for him. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The other reason Glenn ran again was because he imposed the discipline on himself. Here's the point. To push through searing pain. His determination and perseverance won the victory. Glenn chose to assume the agony of wailing and then running. No one could have made that decision for him but himself. I'm about done. Here's the point I'm trying to get across under number four, tarry in God's will. Some of the burdens that God gives will rip your heart out. They'll crush your heart. And they'll make it as if somebody hit you in the gut and you desperately want to breathe in, but you can't catch your breath. You know what I'm talking about. Some of the burdens that God gives are the worst pain you'll ever go through. Point number four, if you're hurting, an It's painful. And the devil says, sit down and take a rest for a while. God says, push on. Keep going. Don't quit. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep being faithful to church. Keep telling the gospel. Keep on going through the searing pain. And one of these days, that pain will be turned into the glory of God. I know somebody else that went through some things and pressed through pain. His name is the Apostle Paul. And as I'm starting to come to a close, let me read you a couple of things about what he went through and then give you a verse that'll challenge our heart. Here's what he said in 2 Corinthians 11:23 and following. Are they ministers of Christ? I'm more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Here's what he's saying. I went through all of the hand. And that doesn't include taking care of the churches. And yet as that man went through all of those things, here's a verse that challenges my heart. That same man made this statement in Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, in the midst of all of it, I'm just going to keep pressing on for God. And may God help somebody today who's carrying a heavy burden. May they realize God never gave it to you to carry. Throw it on Him and tell Him you need Him. Get alone and talk to Him about it. Turn to the Word of God and let God speak to your heart and grit your teeth and press on for God until you can say what the Apostle Paul said when he was getting ready to go home to glory. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The test of our character is what it takes to stop us. And may God help us to press on for Jesus. Amen or not this morning. Are you carrying a burden? Do you have something that you're bearing that maybe nobody on planet Earth even knows? I'm telling you, we're only halfway done. I got 4 more to give you. But I'm telling you today, realize God never gave it to you to carry. He wants us to come to the end of ourselves. Bow the knee and say, God, I can't do this. And get alone and talk with God. Take the Word of God and pour over the pages of Scripture. Let God speak to you. And let God give you the fortitude in your heart to get off your knees. And don't quit on God. May God help us with this. Stronghold of burdens. What the devil tries to use as a stronghold, God gives as a blessing. And may we give them to Him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, bless this time. Help us, I pray, not only to hear this message, but to live it. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're getting prepared for the invitation. And that's exactly what this is. It's just simply an invitation. It's just where we invite you to the Lord. But I wonder today, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? See, who I'm preaching to, I'm preaching to God's children carrying burdens. But if you're not God's child, you have no help with your burdens. God wants you to come to Him. If you're here today and you do not know that you're going to heaven, you are not 100% sure that heaven is your home, in just a moment we're going to have an invitation hymn. And during that time, if God is speaking to you, I'm going to invite you to this altar here today. And we'll have a man with a man, a lady with a lady, or a couple with a couple who would be thrilled to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you. Today's a day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Do the right thing. And as they begin to play through softly, I'm talking to Christians here. Have you be honest with the Lord? As I'm a Christian, I know I'm saved. But I came into this auditorium carrying a burden. And God knows that. And He knows what it is. Would you lift your hand in the air with mine? You say, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, but I'm carrying a burden, yes. Well, that's a lot of hands, a lot of hands. If you raise your hand, I want you to lower it, but I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? The reason I'm asking you to do that is because this is not one of those things that should embarrass you. We've all been there. Can I say this to you? I'm carrying one. My little baby girl. It's amazing how God laid this on my heart at this time. You know the beautiful thing about God? He didn't come to you with a big switch and say, "Give it to me. You know better than to carry it." He doesn't do that. He knows how hard it is sometimes to let go. And He tenderly just speaks, "Let me have it." Aren't you glad we serve a God who wants it? I mean, what would you do if He said, "I can't help you with that"? You have to find somebody else to help you carry that one. No. He says, I give it to you because I want you to turn it right around and give it to me. All I'm trying to help you with as my child is to realize you really do need me. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's throwing it on Him. How do you do it? Talk to Him about it. Turn to His Word. Tarry in the will of God. Just keep going on for God. I think it'd be good for several of you, if God's leading you to, just if the Lord leads you to. I don't want anybody to ever respond because they feel pressured. You know my heart. But if you feel God wants you to come, why don't you come today, lay it on the altar, and ask God to help you when you get up that it's still there. Amen? That it's still there. I mean, you giving it to God. Now, be careful, because the thing about burdens is you can let go of it now and pick it up in 30 minutes from now. You know what I'm talking about. You just keep throwing it on Him. Keep talking to Him. Keep turning to God's Word. Keep tarrying in God's will. As Brother Gary sings, I want you, if you need to be saved, to come. And if you need to lay a burden down, you come. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Take this and use it in a mighty way. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary singing. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As Brother Gary sings, if you want to come and lay a burden on the altar, you come now. If you need to be saved, you come. As He sings, come on. Come talk to God about it.
And your health you can regain.
Come talk to the Lord about it.
And your soul is almost
give your burden to Jesus. Throw it on the Lord.
Jesus knows the pain.
Talk to God about it.
He can save.
Turn to His Word through it. Stay putting the will of God in it. Don't quit. Keep going. Keep going.
Surely bring you out.
playing through. We're just about through. Now, Brother Gary, sing that same verse here just one more time. If nobody else comes, we'll be done. But I do want to extend an invitation to you one more time. If you've never trusted Christ, you come. If you need to let go of a burden, you come. Brother Gary, sing that verse one more time. If nobody else comes, this will be it. Thank you for being here today. Let's sing it together.
If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden.
As we close in prayer, I remind you that tonight Brother Levi will be speaking, giving a little report about England and speaking for us. We're looking forward to it at 6:30. Good to have his brother Wes here. God bless you. If you'll lead us in a word of prayer as we close, please.